Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66. WFAN New York.
All right, we roll on a Sunday night in New York. Nice to have you with us on this Father's Day. Hope it went great. It was a beautiful weekend. Of course, very dramatic golf out at Shinnecock. It's finally put to bed, and Brooks Koepka is your back-to-back champion, winning last year and winning this year in dramatic fashion with a errant shot on the 18th hole, and yet able to clean it up, win by one, and shoot 68 today. To talk about it with us, David Dusek, who's out there at Golf Week magazine, of course, and obviously enjoying what was controversial, and yet I think a deserving winner came through. David, your thoughts about what you watched this last 4 days?
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it right on the head. We definitely got the deserving winner. We know who played the best over the last 72 holes. We know that things got a little ugly yesterday with the course setup, and certainly the antics of Mr. Phil Mickelson didn't help anything out. But at the end of the day, I think that Brooks Koepka is back-to-back winners last year at Erin Hills, this year at Shinnecock, showed that he's got a game that it's just fantastically made for U.S. Open play. He's got prodigious length off the tee. He's got a sneaky good putting stroke. He's been one of the better putters very quietly for the last several years. And he's got a demeanor, I think most importantly, that allows him to accept that everybody's going to make bogeys and let that sort of just roll off your back and just keep your head down, go about your business, play smart. And he's a handful. He's a great player. He's somebody who's got tremendous confidence. And who knows? Maybe he's got two under the bag right, you know, two under the belt right now, and he's got every reason to think at this point that he could be someone up there like Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, who's going to be around for a long, long time, winning a lot of championships.
Isn't it interesting, David, that quality of being able to accept bogeys and accept the conditions in an even manner is probably the most beneficial one to have when you go to U.S. Open Week.
Absolutely. Yesterday I followed him around. I was one of the few media members with he and Ian Poulter, and they were at the 14th hole, which nobody was able to make a birdie yesterday on the 14th hole. It was absolutely brutal. And he had his drive went over to the left. He punched out, and he had left for his third shot about maybe a 60-yard pitch shot over a bunker to a pin that was tucked way to the right. And a lot of people in these situations who aren't mentally strong enough might have taken that shot on. But Koepka actually pulled out a little iron shot. He chipped the ball 45 degrees away, not even playing anywhere close to the flag, rolling it 60 feet down to the bottom of the green, but getting himself on the putting surface. So basically he was showing the discipline to accept the fact that I can't hit that shot.
Right.
And if I try and hit that shot, bad things are going to happen. He winds up making a 61-foot par putt. I mean, there was a lot of luck involved there. But I was just overwhelmed with the discipline and the willingness to take his medicine and just basically limit the damage, and that's the way you win U.S. Open.
Yeah, obviously. You know, what's funny about that is that I was working yesterday here at the Fan, and my producer and I were watching it on television before we went on the air, and I turned to Paul. I said, you know, if he wins this thing, that is the most memorable shot he is going to hit this weekend, because we didn't know what was going to happen. But
of course,
what a thing. I mean, what a putt that was. It was the most ridiculous putt to make.
But the discipline, you know, to recognize the situation, you know, and to say, you know what, I'm the defending champion. At that point, you know, he's going back and forth with the lead. He's right in the mix. And to still be willing to give up a shot, he didn't know he was going to make a 61-foot birdie. But that was actually part. But there was, it was a great putt, but there was certainly a lot of luck involved. But the willingness to take his lumps and to go on, it's one thing to talk the talk, but he walked the walk, and I was just really impressed with that.
What about Tommy Fleetwood, 63? What do you make of that? I mean, that quieted a lot of critics. You know, if a guy can shoot 63, most of Golf America that's watching on TV is telling the other pros, hey, shut up. Your buddy there just shot 63. We don't want to hear any more whining about how tough it is.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was two different golf courses from yesterday afternoon and what we saw today. But Tommy Fleetwood, for people who watch golf week in and week out, we know that this guy probably plays primarily on the European Tour. He's been playing more in the United States, and he's tremendously talented. Just hasn't had a chance to break through yet, and certainly made a name for himself today with a 63 at the U.S. Open, tying the lowest score ever shot at a U.S. Open that's held by several people. You know, he's someone that is just coming into his own, and I think realizing that he belongs out here. He belongs amongst the game's elite players. They all know it. Those of us who follow the game week in and week out, we see his name on the top of leaderboards all the time. And unfortunately, we're going to see his name on the other side, on the European team in the Ryder Cup. And he is going to be a handful when the Americans take on the best European players in October in Paris trying to retain the Ryder Cup, because he is definitely going to be there, and he's going to be a monster.
David Dusick of Golf Week joining us. Chris Moore with you on The Fan in New York. And didn't it make Koepka's victory even more impressive that Fleetwood was sitting there at plus two? Brooks knew he wasn't going to get any help. You know, he was at plus one for a long time trying to hold on to that. And he knew, you know, he knew he wasn't going to get any help. So you either shoot the number or a guy that finished 5 hours ago is going to win this tournament. And I thought that really spoke well to Koepka as well under that kind of pressure, because that's rare that someone's in the clubhouse and, you know, is likely to beat you right now. I mean, I bet most of America thought, you know what, that plus two is going to hold up. Koepka's not going to be able to get through this without making a bogey or two down the stretch. And to his credit, he didn't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that obviously makes that approach shot that he hit on 16. He had a nice drive,
oh,
laid up
shot
to the right distance, gave himself a fantastic angle from the left side of the fairway, and then dropped, you know, a great shot in there, makes the putt. So he's got two shots in hand heading to the 17th, makes par there after hitting a smart shot, didn't go with the flag, two-putted for a good safe par there, and then obviously needed one of those shots, and that's why you have them in hand.
So, did the nerves get him on 18 on that second shot?
It's difficult to tell. You know what? I want to say no, that it was just bad execution, because this is, again, a guy who's won PGA Tour events. He's the defending champion, and I don't think that nerves were what it is. I think it was just bad execution. These guys are not perfect. You know, they do miss hit shots. Their miss hits and their bad shots are better than ours. That's why they're them and we're not. But at the same time, he had the shots, and he played away from the hole again on the 72nd hole, makes his bogey, and he walks away a winner. So kudos to Koepka.
What did they do today? Water the main reason that the course was playing completely differently, or was it the fact that Mother Nature cooperated a little bit? What are your thoughts?
Well, Mother Nature cooperated, you know, for the most part this whole tournament. We had a little bit of rain early on Thursday, if I remember correctly. But really, they put down quite a bit of water, and the wind wasn't quite as severe as it had been a little bit earlier in the week. And I don't think that what they did is probably cut the grass. They may have rolled it to smooth the green, but they didn't cut the grass. And there was basically no grass on some of those greens to cut. The 15th green was a joke yesterday. I walked, like I said, with
Brooks
and I asked him afterwards, what did you think of 15? And he said, I absolutely have nothing positive to say about the 15th green, so I'm not going to tell you anything.
Yeah.
Nothing nice to say
yeah.
about it. And,
yeah.
and he was right. It was a joke. They lost that green. They lost a few of them. Tom Davis came in to the media center yesterday and admitted as such that they messed up again here at Shinnecock, the course got away from them, and they did everything they could, and I think they did a good job of setting the golf course up and conditioning it so the guys could make scores. Obviously, there was a 63 that was made. There were birdies out there to be had. At the same time, there were guys who shot big numbers. So if you hit good shots, you got rewarded. If you didn't, you got punished.
Long-term effects of Mickelson's hijinks yesterday.
I think it's too early to tell. I mean, it was something that.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, David. I want the lowdown early. You know, I want you to tell me what's going to happen.
I'm going to be looking forward to talking to you guys this in about 48 hours up at CPC River Highlands in Hartford. That's where the PGA Tour is going next. And whether they'll go on the record or just talk to me off the record in the locker room, just to find out what a lot of guys are really going to be saying. So people took to social media. And for the most part, I think that the survey was that Mickelson did everything out of it. You know, he knew what he was doing. He used the rules to his advantage. In some ways, he put the USGA in a really tough position because, like, what are they going to do? Toss Phil Mickelson from the U.S. Open? It's almost like he played chicken in some ways with them to actually do it, because there is a rule that would let them do it. But the way that they interpreted the rules, the intent was not really taken into account. It was, what did he do? And the way that rule is written, the intent doesn't matter. He hit a moving ball. That's a two-shot penalty. End of story. And Phil knew that, and he used the rules, and I think that a lot of people will take a look at him and being like, you know what, if you just come in and say, the U.S. Open got the best of me. I was frustrated. I fried out. I made a mistake. I wish I hadn't have done it. But this would be a dead story. But the thumbs up and, in some ways, the kind of smirk and the talking about it and the way that he talked about it, it's going to hang around for a little while. I think some people will look at Phil Mickelson a little bit differently now.
Is it partly his age that he can get away with it?
I think it's the fact that he's already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already in the Hall of Fame. He's won three quarters of the Grand Slam. He's a six-time runner-up at the U.S. Open. He turned 48 yesterday. I don't think it's anything more than that. I mean, Michael Jordan got a lot of calls. Steph Curry and LeBron James get a lot of calls. Phil Mickelson got a call yesterday.
Fair enough. David Dusick of Golf Week joining us. Tiger is still in the American public's eye, the Golf Channel, or in this case, Fox, whoever's promoting a golf tournament. on any given week is always going to lead with him if they can. They still think he brings. How long does that last? Like, as these tournaments go by and he doesn't compete on Sunday, how long is his shelf life now? And I know that question's been asked for a few years. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the fact that you just asked it, I mean, it's been going on for years, and there is still, I can tell you, anytime Tiger's in a tournament, the gallery, forget what the media is doing, forget what you see on TV or hear it.
Right.
The gallery, people love him.
Yep.
People still absolutely love him. When that goes away, then the media frenzy around Tiger Woods goes away. But that's not going away for a long time, because anytime he plays, and the PGA Tour is going to be coming back to the Tri-State area, we're going to be at Ridgewood Country Club in August for the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Tiger will be there, and people will go bananas.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fascinating, because you someday it will end, and you just wonder what will be the catalyst for it ending. How will the fade?
But here's the thing:
how will we know when the fade starts? When all of a sudden, instead of a frenzy, it's just a commotion. You know, how will we know when that starts? That's the interesting part.
Think about it this way: Jack Nicklaus every year goes back to Augusta National, and now, due to his age and due to his physical, conditions and stuff like that, with his hips and his knees are bad, he still goes to the par three contest, and he played it this year again. And the crowds who can get in and get themselves a ticket for Wednesday at the Masters go bananas for Jack Nicklaus. Golfers never go away.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, a basketball player who eventually has to leave and isn't picked up by a team, or a baseball player who gets released and they can't get a contract somewhere. Golf is forever. Tiger Woods has an invitation to play in the Masters until he doesn't want to play anymore. Same thing with the British Open and the PGA. He's got lifetime exemptions into those tournaments. He's won 79 PGA Tour events, which means he can play any PGA Tour event as long as he basically wants. So Tiger's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Do you believe, taking the pulse of the golf industry and the players, that many people, or a majority of people, believe he will win again?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm one of them.
Okay. And what makes you feel that way? Like, what about, is so it just Tiger that his skill level was so high that he can recap? I mean, the reason I don't, David, is not really related to Tiger. It's my respect for the other players, that there's just too many
reason.
Of them.
That's a very legitimate and a smart reason to think that he doesn't win. But here's my reason why he does. Too many people hold Tiger today to the standard he set in the 2000s, which is frankly unattainable. There's nobody today, you know, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. None of these guys are playing the way that Tiger Woods did at his peak. But statistically, for example, if you look, Tiger is one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour right now. He has shown at times that he can still be a really good putter. Now, the putter goes hot and cold at this point, and the driving goes hot and cold. But I honestly believe that at some point or another in the next 12 to 18 months, he puts it together. Now, if he gets continued back injuries and more of those kind of things, then that goes out the window.
Right.
But Tiger has shown enough rounds at this point, you know, three or four of them that have been truly like great rounds of golf. And the way that you win on the PGA Tour, forget majors, just win a PGA Tour event, is you really play three really good rounds and then have one round that maybe isn't quite as good, but it doesn't blow you off the lead or it doesn't blow you out of the thing. I think Tiger Woods is pretty close to being capable of doing that. And when you can do that, you can win.
David, great analysis. We appreciate you taking time on such a busy night. Our audience certainly appreciates it as well, and hopefully we'll have you back on the Fan again. Continued success.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
There you go. David Dusek, Golf Week, giving it to us and giving it to us straight, and that's a good analysis of why a guy who lives and dies the tour believes that Tiger still has something there. Even though it's hard for me to agree with that, I respect that he's there every day and I'm not, and that means something for sure.